So, I'm taking a break today from Luke. Luke's kind of been pounding away at the same thing over and over again in our lives, and I was thinking that maybe we might all need a pressure relief valve, right? Just something to just relax into a little bit. And I'm going to read Psalm 121 a number of times today during the service, and so I just want you to know that's what we're working towards is just a pressure relief valve in our days. So, when I was in seminary, one of the things, this is a really big word, and I'm sorry about it, but there's no real other way for me to understand this except for when you're reading the scripture, they would teach you to have a hermeneutic of distrust. In other words, hermeneutic, $5 word, right? It's sort of a posture, how you decide to test everything. It's not just a posture, but the lens through which you're going to look at it. They just want you to test everything in such a way. As a matter of fact, one of my professors would say, "Think against me until you have good reason to think with me." And scripture lots of times test everything, find what's good, comes that way. But today I want to hit a reset button. I think it's really good to look at things in our life with a hermeneutic of distrust. Why is it coming to us? What's its purpose here and that? But God, on the other hand, I think we need to reset our vision in that and and begin to see the work that He's done in our life and start to trust that instead of a hermeneutic or a posture of distrust, to come to God with a posture of trust. And Psalm 121 is where we are. Now, in your Pew Bible, on page 547, that's where Psalm 121 is. 123, just in the next column over there, says, "Have mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt." You had more than enough of contempt or mistreatment in your life from other people? I know that I have, on principle. When things go wrong, I've had just more than enough of it. So here's Psalm 121, this version here. If you were to come to the Wednesday night Bible study that I do here, one of the things you'll get used to is hearing the same thing over and over from every translation in the room. This is the RSV. "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you, your going and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore." First off, I think that's just gorgeous language, and Ted arranged all the music around this. I appreciate that. Today, this is what I want you to do. I want to invite you to make a decision this week that you're going to set your eyes on the things God has done in your life, and you're going to set your eyes to find them, to see them, and then appreciate them. As you come, as you go, right now and forever. Set your eyes. Where does your help come from? Now, do we look to the hills? Do we look to the high places in our life? Where do we look for help? Do we look to the people that have always come through for us? Where do you look for help when you do it? Do you look to your family? Do you look to the hills? "I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from?" Now, in the ancient Hebrew culture, there's more than one thing going on here. We're just looking to the hills. Just make sure that you don't look to the world. You don't look to the sun and the moons and the planets for your help. You don't look to the hills. You don't look to the valleys or the lakes. I need to make sure in my own life that I don't look just to the sunshine for help. You know, as we've had a gray winter, and I grew up in a place, there was a line in one of your songs that said that you hide the sun from the heat of the day and you give the coolness of the night. In that line, right? Where I'm from, the coolness of the night in the summer is 98 degrees instead of 110. Here, when the sun goes down and it does cool off, right? It might have been 100 during the day, but it's going to be 72, 73 years. But where I'm from, the coolness of the night is 98. I remember as a little kid, it would rain in the night, and my parents would come up and wake us up at 2 in the morning. It's raining. Go play in it. Think about that. That's different from your experience here, isn't it? That your kids would wake you up at 2 in the morning and say, go play in the rain. It was such a rare occurrence during the summer. But you don't look to the creation. Now, this is a little subtle in here, but in the Israeli culture, in the old culture, they would build places of worship on the high places for their other religions, because the high places were supposed to have power. So not only do we not look to creation, but we don't look necessarily to the places of worship for our help. Have you thought about that? Do you look to this building for help? Perhaps you look to me for help or something like that. Look to the Lord for help. He's my helper. So if you come to me, I hope that I point you towards him. If you come to this building is really cool. Have you taken a moment to just look around this every so often? Like the sun is coming behind these glass windows today. And this building is amazing, isn't it, in some ways, for getting you into a place where you can worship a God of creation. I know Glendine worked really hard on these windows, and the yellow cord that flows through them is the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the thing in the way she did that. Did you know that? The yellow ribbon that flows through here. In your life, the Holy Spirit flows through your life sort of like that. But don't look to the building for your help. Look to where the building points. Look to God. Just need to make sure we do that. I'm going to read it in the message this morning. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and the mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke and sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. He keeps your footing for you. That's one of the images in here. Have you slipped or fallen in your life in a place that maybe it wasn't just a skinned knee, but it was a bruised ego or a bruised bank account? Some fall that you've made has cost you lots of money, or it's cost you a chance at a job. Maybe you slipped and fell and bruised your job at work or your reputation in the world. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, he lifts me out of the muck and the mire, and he sets my feet upon the rock. He doesn't allow our feet to be moved. He doesn't fall asleep. He's not the disciples with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Can you come and keep watch with me for an hour and pray while I go over here and pray? And he keeps coming back. And they, really, dudes, can't you just stay awake for an hour? Is it too much to ask? No, that's not the way God is in our life. It's not only does he not fall asleep, he's not asleep at the wheel, he's not on autopilot. And he's not distanced. There's a personalness to this in the text. There's in the text, he is your right hand. He is your shadow. He is always nearby to you. It's personal to him. He's not up in the heavens going, I haven't checked in with them for a while. Let's see, where are they? I forgot where they were. So there's none of that in God. I know that our experience with people is I put something there, and then you spend your whole life trying to figure out where you put something. I wonder where my keys are. Right now I'm looking for a pair of reading glasses that I set down somewhere in this building. I know they're in this building because I've made a habit to not ever remove them from this building, but they're somewhere. I can't find them. That's not the way God is. Do you have that experience in your life where you set something down and you just can't ever find it? Yeah, I see some shaking heads up there. That's an example of humanness, not an example of how God is. He's just the opposite. On the other hand, he hasn't lost track of you. Now, you might have lost track of God. Anyone? I think of a statement in a Richard Rohr book that says this: just because you don't think he's not near doesn't make him not near. We have a perception problem, not a nearness problem of God. He's your shadow. He's your right hand is one of the images here. He's always attentive. He's on the job. And then there's this other little line in here. If I go to this, it's this way. It says, he who watches you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will not slumber. Well, there's this personal comment in here about God not slumbering over you, not forgetting to pay attention to you, but he's paying attention to you personally and to us corporately. To Israel is the country here, not the person Israel, but the country. So his people, he's paying attention to his people. He's not asleep at the job on that way either. So have you ever figured out that this salvation that God offers isn't only personal? He's come and he's come to you to save you, but he's also come to us because he's after a people after his name. And it doesn't take very long to be in church to figure out that there's some other people here that you might be here for. Now, I'm going to say this just a little bit just to make sure that you know this. You know, if you come to church thinking the pastor is perfect, I want to make sure that I remove all doubt on that spot right now, that I make mistakes too. And in a lot of places, people will say, well, they're not really the best pastor for us. And I've heard this. Well, you're a really good pastor until we see a mistake, and then they launch in and they tear them down. This church is for me to grow in too. Not just for you to grow in, but I get to grow. And I've been changing some of the things of the way that I prepare for sermons and all that. And some of you didn't know that, but if I don't tell you, then you don't know that I'm working hard to train and learn and do this different as well. I had somebody in my office the other day, and he says, I keep asking God for help, I can't discern what the help is that I'm getting, or I don't know where to go. And I looked at him and said, I've been a Christian for 33 years. I'm just about to get the hang of noticing when God gives me direction. That's not the same as following that direction. Those of you who have followed God for a number of years know that discerning his love and care for you isn't always so easy. The buying the things we buy always seems like, well, this is the good one, and then it breaks. And we don't follow that direction quite as well. I'm working hard to tune my life better and better and better. Are you doing that? Are you hoping to do that? Maybe what I'm saying to you is so foreign that you've never heard. Well, I just came to Jesus, and you know, whenever I open the Bible, he just gives me perfect direction. Wow, I long for just clear, simple directions. There's a song out right now. I want to go back to Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The further up and further into the Christian life I get, the more difficult sometimes it is to discern what I should and shouldn't do. But of course, it's more difficult because I have more experience trusting him. I've seen him in my life, and I've seen him in more ways. And so I've got more experience learning how to trust him, and so I can take on bigger and bigger challenges. I remember a particular difficult spot I was in once, and a friend of mine, we were praying regularly. He said, while this is going on, let's meet every day and pray for a while. And after about a week of it, it started to let up. It seemed like it was letting up. There was we're in the eye of the storm instead of the let up. And he turned to me and he goes, I was just wondering, what in the world have you been through that this spot seems manageable to you? Are you in a difficult spot in your life? Have you been in a difficult spot just recently and you're starting to wonder what you've been through that allows you to be trusted in this spot that you can still do it? There's a meme on Facebook right now going around that said, I've noticed that of all the end of time things, like my world is coming to an end, every time my world is coming to an end, my ability to get through that has so far been 100%. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Your world is coming to an end, and you're still here. And your world has come to an end a number of times. When I was a teenager, my world was coming to an end regularly, and I'm still here. When I was 20, when I was 30. Okay, it's time to read the scripture again. By the way, one of my methods, why I do the way I do on Bible study night where we read it over and over again is your pastor, don't tell anybody, your pastor can't change you. The Bible, the Word of God, as it works in your life, can change you. One of the reasons we keep going back to the scripture is I need you elbow deep in the scripture so that it can start to work its way into your life and permeate, and instead of a hermeneutic of distrust, you will begin to have a hermeneutic of trust for God's word. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade, and on your right hand the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and from forevermore. Say this one with me, okay? As I come, and as I go, right now and always, the Lord will keep me. Okay, one more time. Are you ready? As I come and as I go, right now and always, the Lord will keep me. Excellent. We're going to do that one more time later on in the service, just as I'm about done here. As the sun begins to strike us, the things we can see, there are hard spots in our lives. There are things that we can see coming at us. You can see the struggle coming. It's going to get here. It's not going to, it's not going to be a surprise, but it might be harder than you expect. The sun stroke, the stroke of the sun by day, it's the meaning behind that, the struggles in life that you can see coming, and the struggles, the moonstruck. Did you know that you can get moonstruck, like sunstroke? That's what it's saying in here. Now, that was their way of saying chronic illnesses that come upon us that we don't see coming. MS. Tremors. Parkinson's. Dementias. Moonstruck is the way that they would kind of call that. The things that come upon you that you can't see coming, that you can't prepare for, that there's no way to see coming. I want you to not place your eyes always on the difficult spot in life, but turn and look to the Lord who so far has maintained you through every struggle you've gone through. And I know that because you're here. You didn't get wiped off the face of the earth when this bad thing befell you. Don't aim for trouble. I've got this. I have a habit, and some of you may have fallen prey to this habit. I'll ask you how you're doing, and you'll say, "Has anybody in this room ever said not bad to me? Did I harass you for it?" Because if you said, "How are you doing? Not bad," then I harassed you for that. Oh, were you aiming for bad, but you haven't been doing an effective job in getting there yet? Don't aim for trouble. Set your eyes just a little bit higher. I know that if you've said not bad to me, I know I've harassed you for it, because I almost never let that go. Randy, you've been around me as much as anybody here. Have you heard me harass somebody for this? It's just like when I was taking my kids to school and I got the pleasure of standing in line with them when they were kindergartners and first graders. And there are not a lot of dads that got that pleasure, but I got that because I was running a business of my own out of the house. And so I got to do there. And it's one of those chances that God has said, don't let that go. Make sure you take the opportunity to change somebody's reset button on their life, that they've been taking some things for granted. They've been thinking in patterns that don't work. And I have a couple of ways of doing this. Some of you have seen during the winter that I'll be wearing a blue glove and a black glove or multiple color gloves of those little knit gloves. And when I was in line with the first graders, people used to say, your gloves don't match. And there's two responses. The first one was, I've got a pair just like them at home. But the other one was, if you have a pair of identical gloves, do you have a pair of gloves? If you have two gloves that are identical, do you have a pair? No. If your gloves are identical, you have two right-handed gloves or two left-handed gloves. Come up to somebody and there's their toes. Can I step on those? No. Have you ever been asked politely if somebody can step on your toes? Now, if you've been around me, you might have been asked politely if somebody can step on your toes. I don't really want to step on your toes. I just want to know if it's okay. Let's reset the way that we think through life just a little bit. Let's let God press the reset button on our life, that we're not aiming for the trouble spots, that we don't set our focus on what's befallen us, that we set our eyes on the Lord. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? Not from the hills, but from the maker of heaven and earth. Indeed, he's the one who keeps you. Lord, let us see where you've been keeping us. Let us see where you've been in our lives. Let us see the footprints of you in our lives that we might become more aware of how you have touched our lives. Help us set our eyes on you today. Are you ready for this? As I come and as I go, right now and always, I will trust you. Okay, one more reading, and then I'm going to let you go after a repeat again. Okay, my computer went to sleep. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. As I come and as I go, right now and always, I will trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reset button that you hit in my life this week, and the 15 other times you had to reset me because I was locked, head up in the lock position. Thank you so much for working in my life. Help me see where you're at work. Help me learn to trust in you. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.